Welcome to the Miracle Nutrition Hop On, Hop Off Bus Tour. I'm Hardy White. On behalf of Cap'n Butchie, First Mate Lou, and myself, I welcome you at this time and remind you that anything that you hear in the next hour is presented with genuine affection, but little logical consistency. So sit back, feel free to take pictures, leave nothing but footsteps, take nothing but questions, eat nothing but... A guided tour of Toronto as a metaphor for the pursuit of justice. Sermons by tour guide prophets. Well, that's worth a listen. Let's see what this is all about.
Federal regulations require all passengers to comply with crew instructions, posted placards, and lighted information signs. Smoking, including the use of e-cigarettes, is not allowed on any of these flights. Federal law prohibits tampering with, disabling, or destroying Western smoke detectors. This aircraft has two forward doors, one on each side, and two window exits over the wings. All exits are clearly marked with exit signs and instructions for operation. In an emergency, lights will illuminate the aisle to guide you to an exit. Please locate the exits nearest you. And keep in mind, they may be behind you. If there is a loss of cabin pressure, a panel above your seat will open, revealing oxygen masks. If this happens, reach up and pull a mask towards you until the tube is fully extended. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Flip the elastic over your head and adjust the mask if necessary. Breathe normally. And note that oxygen is flowing, even if the bag does not fully inflate. Secure your own mask before helping others. Seat cushions can be used for flotation. To use, pull up to remove the bottom cushion. When you exit the aircraft, hold the cushion to your chest with the straps facing away. Put your arms through the straps and hold your wrists. Before we take off, be sure seat backs are upright. Tray tables and carry-on items are stowed. Windows in the exit row in seat 1A are unobstructed and aisle armrests are lowered. Then take a moment to review the safety information card in your seat pocket. As I complete the final safety check, let me know if you have any questions. I'll do everything I can to make sure you have a safe and relaxing flight today. Goodbye.
I think it's pretty cool that they let you do that, Butch.
Well, I had to memorize it for that sketch comedy class I took.
Oh, I remember that. I like that one character you did.
I'm a tiny little baby.
Okay, well, whatever.
I love to hear you talk on the mic. I dare you to just hop on a random bus in Toronto, get on the mic, and turn it into an impromptu bus tour. I dropped my phone!
We also have a bar on board serving chips, beer,
I dropped
cider,
my phone
pop.
In the water!
On your right, you'll see something that we're very proud of. The Rogers Center. Originally named the Sky Dome, it is the home to Major League Baseball's the Toronto Blue Jays. Constructed in 1989, it seats approximately 54,000 people and can boast the first workable retractable roof. I say workable because our Montreal cousins to the east tried to build one and failed. Unlike the good people of Toronto who succeeded in building a stadium with a working retractable roof. And when that stadium opened in 1989, that ceremony was attended by none other than Second City TV's Andrea Martin. Let me direct your attention to the right side of the bus, and there you will see a green structure. That green structure is a public toilet. Now, for the low price of a quarter, you can go in there and do your business in private and comfort. But be alert, you have exactly 20 minutes, and at the end of those minutes, the doors open up, so be sure you keep track of your time while doing your business, or else everyone on the dockside might see your business. You might notice that Toronto does not have a great deal of very old buildings. There's a reason for that. You see, there was a very bad fire in 1849 that spread through many city blocks, but afterwards, we rebuilt. That didn't please the fire gods, apparently, and they sent another, even more devastating fire in 1904, destroying several city blocks. You might ask how Toronto got its name. Well, it comes from an Iroquois word, takaranto, meaning trees standing in water. But when colonizers got here, being hostile and stupid, they renamed the place Toronto, meaning beaver scat. Direct your attention on your right to what many people assume is the former tallest freestanding structure in the world, CN Tower. In fact, this is a spaceship constructed by the Atamalian race to oversee the transformation of Ontario into a breeding and harvesting facility for our Atamalian overlords. Hail Atamalia. Also, we're about to legalize pot. So hang on to those novelty flags with the pot leaf instead of the maple leaf on them. Oh, cannabis. The next stop coming up is the home of famous Toronto hockey star, Spadina Young.
Is it Spadina?
Spadina. Let's get out of here before they figure things out.
Oh, you're gonna love this house. It's 100 years old, and it's never been lived in. Apparently a sad rich guy built it, and his wife died. Well, not his wife. I don't know. Anyway, it's on city water and sewer, but there's no electricity, and the dim reminders of the shadow of death are everywhere. Excellent school district.
Direct your attention to the port side of the boat. There you will see 1 Samuel chapter 8. There's Samuel. He's old now. He's a judge. Oh, judgment is hard. You have to take so many things into consideration. It hurts your brain and your heart pursuing justice through the law. Now, you have to have trust. Administer the law, and Samuel was trusted, but his sons, oh, the next generation of judges were corrupt and dishonest and took bribes. So the elders came to Samuel and they said, you know, you're old, we trust you with the law, but your sons, oh, they're horrible and corrupt, all right? They do not follow your ways. So instead of simply trying to spend some energy to fix this wonderful system given to us by God, we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and we would like to replace it with an authoritarian dictator. We would like a king to lead us like other nations have. Give us a powerful king, please, Samuel. Now, Samuel thought this was a terrible idea. So he turned to the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, man, I've had it with these people. They have been given a chance. They will not take responsibility for themselves. They are ingrates. So, look. Warn them that this is a terrible idea, and then give them their king. Samuel told the people, I will give you a king, but he's going to make your sons go to war and die. He's going to make your daughters servants. He's going to take your best fields and give them to his friends. He'll take a tenth of your things and give them to his cronies. And the people were, no, okay, we just want a king like other nations. We want to feel good about ourselves without having to do anything. We want to be told what to do. And so Samuel appointed Saul the king.
and it was awful, and the people regretted it, but it was too late. Amen. Take a look out the starboard side of the boat at this time, and you will see some playful dolphins frolicking in the water.
Hey, if anybody needs to get something to eat, to get a snack, or you need a potty break or anything right now, please let me know. If you need to sit down, anything. I am a human being. I know how difficult life can be. And your comfort and safety comes before anything, comes before this stupid tour, certainly. If you need to eat or something like that, or you're going to get sick, who cares about this China vase or something, what year it was? I'm just making stuff up anyway. You're what's important. So if you got to sit down or have a sandwich, or you got maybe you got to sit on a sandwich, I'm not going to tell you no. I don't know what it takes for you to get through the day. All I can say is this. I have experienced pain and pleasure. I've experienced sadness and joy. So I know. So we can just stand here and wait for you. And I know that everyone else feels the same way I do. Is that you're all more important than this silly tour and all this stuff. It's just junk. Anyway, well, some of it's very valuable junk. For instance, please turn your attention to this antique mattress. What's it stuffed with? We don't know. No one wants to cut it open because of fear. Think, well, who knows what they would have put in there? Cats? That's what a lot of people say. I don't want to cut it open because it could be all stuffed with cats and everything. I don't think so. I think it's straw is my opinion. Some people say cornflakes or shredded wheat, but we don't know. Over there is the bread churn. Say, bread churn? You mean butter churn? Oh, I wish. That's a bread churn. And before they discovered that it was really better for butter, they made it for bread, and they would churn their bread, and they didn't know what was going wrong. It had come out sort of because you got to knead bread. You knead it. You don't churn it. Over there is a needlepoint portrait of the original owner, Captain Shempick. And Captain Shempick owned this house from 1901 until 1758. And he did indeed live his life backwards, as many of us do. Oh, if I lived my life backwards, would I understand better the cause of things or not as well? That's a quote of his, and you can see that he also needle-pointed that into a piece of cloth. I don't know why. He couldn't have just remembered it. But back then, a lot of times, they didn't have hard drives and everything. They had needlepoint and also embroidery, and that's how they remembered the alphabet. They'd sew it into something, a headband or anything. Any questions?
A question. Were people different shapes, taller, shorter, wider? Were they lighter back then?
Well, that's a very good question. People always have come in all different sizes and all shapes. But yes, there were some very, very tiny palm-sized people as well as spectacular giants over 10 feet tall. That's why a lot of times you won't see any evidence of that because of the great variation in time and such. Thank you. It's a very good question. Let me get on with this now. What a lot of you think, what is that unusual smell? Is that a lot of old houses have that smell? Well, in this case, it's my deodorant. And my deodorant is called a historic preservation. And it smells like just like an old house that's being put up for historic preservation. I don't know whether it's old wood or carpet, not wall-to-wall carpet, but rugs like people used to have. Look at the left. See those? Those are shaker pegs. You can hang chairs on them. Okay, everybody, come on down. Be careful. Come on down the stairs. We're going to start down here in the sub basement. We're going to start our tour here at the very lowest point and work our way up. Everybody down here safely? All right. This is the sub basement of the tour. And this is always, for me, evocative of George Orwell's Down and Out
in Paris and New York. Now, when he's in Paris, he describes working in this restaurant in a sort of sub basement, and it's just absolutely dismal and dark, and everyone there is hot and oppressed and everything. It's a very difficult job, and through his descriptive writing, Orwell draws us in and lets us know what it feels like. We get to feel those things. Does anybody know why this might be useful? Who can tell me why this might be useful? Any of you? Yes, sir, right there.
It helps us understand what other people are experiencing in their lives by being able to feel those things ourselves through their poetic description.
Well, that's very good. That's very close, I think. Yes. We are able to put ourselves in that position and feel what another person is feeling and help them, or help ourselves rather, understand what they are going through. And that's what this tour is all about. That's why we're standing here in the basement, to get a basic understanding. What is the foundation of the house that we are in? What's it like in its bowels? Yes, I said bowels. What's it like in its bowels? We want to know about the bowels of everything, don't we? And even a house has them. And you say, well, does that make the basement door a sort of rectum? No, you don't have to extend the metaphor that way. It's just a basement. But it is a really low point. It's very dark and damp down here. And of course, we want to rise above that, right? Just because that's the base of what we are, just because that's there, doesn't mean that has to be everything. We don't have to live in the sub-sub-basement. And the people who originally built this house, they said, no, we're going to acknowledge there's a basement. We're going to keep things in it, like rotten potatoes and old wine bottles and things, but we ourselves are going to rise above the basement and live in other floors. And join me now as we walk upstairs to the regular basement. You say, you're going upstairs to reach the basement? Yes, that's how low we are now. We started at the very bottom. We have to work our way up to low. That's how low you are. It's like milking a snake or something. I love those colorful metaphors. What's lower than low? I don't know. You can just keep going to infinity. But then if you shrink yourself down relative to size, the snake's belly could be way up there. You don't know. It is all relative. And relatives lived here together in these cramped quarters in this basement area. They would bring down things like, spools of thread. And to them, the spools of thread were giant. And they would use them as tables and things. I could be describing mice, or mice-sized men, or man-sized mice. I don't know, but they all lived here in harmony, and they all thought, someday we will build a house that will have sunshine come in. We don't have to live in this dark basement. And they did. One day they discovered that there was a first floor. And they rose out of that basement. And they say, not everything smells like oily rags. Oh, these are the oily rags of our souls down here. Something smells foul. Why? Because they put a stink egg smelling gas so you know it's there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to smell your own gas. Why can you smell your own gas? So that you remember that you're a danger to yourself. That's why. Otherwise, the Lord would have made you odorless. If they can make odorless antiperspirant and etc. Odorless, they even have odorless cologne now, which I use if you have any kind of sensitivity to things, to anything. I have sensitivity. What do I use? Well, I could use something to inure myself. If I was going to protect you, would you want me to clad you in armor? Put a suit of armor on you. No, that would suffocate me. Then what do you want? Just love me. Look out for me. That will make me feel safe. Well, I will keep you safe on this tour. Join me now for the first floor. And we walk up into the first floor. Well, I think we're going to spend a lot of time here because this seems to be where it's all happening. Yeah, I know it is, but there's other floors. We're going to spend our time on the first floor. And yes, the first floor does contain the outside world. We can walk onto the earth on which this house sits. Well, actually, it sits down a little lower because of the sub-basements and all. But this is the level that we can walk out into the world. This is the level on which our cab would be if we had called one. So wouldn't it come to the... Oh, no, it's not a flying cab. I'm confused. That's right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Yes, this is where the front door is. This is where, if this was a Spanish surrealist film, this is the level we wouldn't be able to leave ever. But we can. We can leave at any time. We can walk in and out of the house. We are free to come in and out of this structure. What is this structure? I'm just going to tell you now, it's the rules we have for living together. Yes, it is. It's our souls. The house is your soul. We're exploring it. What's in it? Oh, I guess things I put in it. Also things that were delivered into it without your knowledge. Yes, there's a back door.
Is that the
No, it's not the rectum and all. It's like I'm saying, it's like your ears and your eyes. Things come into your house, and they've been put there. Let's go into the kitchen right now, and I want you to open the larder. Is that what it's called? The larder. I don't know what you call it. I think that's right. You know, with the you put your things, your cereal and all, where you store it.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
The cabinets where you put your food.
Cupboard?
I guess so, cupboard. I don't know. But let's look in there and see what's in there. You know what I think's in there? Old soup cans. The soup cans might be expired. Let's look at their date. Oh, the date of this soup can seems to be from the 1800s. What does that mean? Oh, it's not a real soup can. It's a reminder of the history of the ideas and the values that you have put into your house. You don't realize they're there. This one... you inherited. Yes, this one is cream of compassion soup. Let's not open it. Let's not open it, because that could be, sometimes it's a can of worms. Sometimes it's a joke can. I know when I was young, there used to be a can of nuts going around. It wasn't nuts. It was a spring. It was a cloth-covered spring, and it was purported to be a snake, a leaping snake, and so you'd open these nuts that you thought were given to you in a spirit of generosity, in a spirit of sharing. Someone wanted you to have some of their delicious mixed nuts, and you would open this can, and out of the can would come at your face a spring covered with just some thin fabric. Right at your eyes, and it was meant to startle you. And what's worse, it was meant to be a snake so that you would fear being bitten. You would have a primal reaction, a primal fear. We have it as snakes. As snakes, that's why if there's a fake snake that leaps at our face, our reaction would be is to flinch slightly. That's because back in the day, our ancestors would be constantly be bitten in the face by snakes. All the time, they'd be biting their, anywhere they'd look, they'd pick something up. So I'm just going to eat this sandwich that was under a log or something. Don't do it. It might have a leaping snake in it. Oh, and they call those practical jokes. I guess they're practically jokes, but not quite. Not quite. Oh, there's so much more on this floor. Literally, this is where the living room is, the dining room, the kitchen, the sitting room, the standing room, mud room, cloak room, carriage room, livery entrance, abomination area, breakfast nook, lunch nook, launch nook. I said lunch nook. And then the upstairs is mainly bedrooms, to be honest. And there is a, well, I don't want to rush up. We'll get there soon enough. So any questions about the kitchen? Don't ask any, though. And why is this? Because I want you to explore first. Exhaust all of your senses. And then you may come with questions. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know the answer. And the answer that I will give you will be false. Therefore, you should probably try to figure it out before you come asking. Because I will guarantee what I give you is wrong. But you at least have a chance of solving it for yourself. Oh, open your eyes and look. Let's see. Let's act as if we're purchasing this house. As if it weren't a mere tour. That we were going to have to live here. That this was our shared values. This was our soul. This is what we got to live in right here. Let's look at it. Let's examine it carefully. Does it, when we were down in the basement, was there radon? What? Was there radon? What's that? It's an invisible gas, deadly gas, maybe over time. I don't know. Well, let's test for that. Up here. I need to look at the wallpaper, because a long time ago, people used to use dangerous chemicals in wallpaper. Like what? I don't know, man. Poison. Like what? Tobacco, I guess.
Really?
They used to put tobacco in everything so the bugs wouldn't eat it. Is that right? That sounds good, doesn't it? I'm not sure if that's true or not. Oh, my goodness. Everything used to be... I'll tell you, if I told you you were a mustard press, would you hold it against me? What do you mean? I need a mustard plaster. Right now, my back is aching me, and it's 1904, and I need you to put a mustard plaster on me. I don't think we have those anymore. Well, let's look. Let's look in the cupboards. Let's look in the nooks of our memory, of our collected memory. Is it there? What you are asking for, my friend, is to be healed in my help, and I will give you that. You specified mustard plaster, so it confused me at first. What you really want is my help, don't you?
Yes.
You just said mustard plaster because you think that's helpful.
Yes.
Like you say, oh, I'm burned. Put some aloe or butter on it. Right, but not the butter. Don't put butter on it.
Okay, I thought that was right.
No, just ask for help, and then we'll try to figure out what you need.
All right.
I want you to come upstairs with me now. There's a second floor, and on that floor are bedrooms, and in those bedrooms are beds, and in those beds are sacks, and in those sacks are cats. Kits, cats, sacks, beds, everything. Sacks, Fifth Avenue beds. Towels by Lord and Taylor. All right. All sorts of Macy's sheeting. That's not what you call it. Bedding. I don't know what you're saying. What I'm saying is this. Look at these beautiful chambers that we make for ourselves. Have you ever heard the expression, you made your bed, now don't lie in it till tonight, because the bed's all made. Let it stay made for the rest of the day at least. Then get in it and you can mess it up. Because the next morning you're just going to have to remake it. But you never say that. You never say, oh, did you remake your bed? You say, did you make your bed? Because we pretend every day as if it's the first time we've done it. Is that right? Yes, look it up. Seriously. Look it up. I'm going to have you look these things up. You just don't get out your phones. Don't do that on my tour. No, sir. No, sir. Well, how would we check it with it? Look. Just smell the smell. Worry later about what it was. You can think about that later. Right now, we're here for the experience. You can look up later who the artist was, what about their use of color and everything. Right now, just look at the darn painting and experience it. Right now, we're in the woods. I want you to use your eyes. Don't take pictures of that tree. You're going to insult the tree. Just look at it. The ultimate compliment is to take that tree into yourself, into your memories. Feel it. Feel what the tree is feeling. That's silly. Why is it silly? Can't for 2 seconds you get outside yourself, you can experience the rest of the world. You can experience what someone else is experiencing. Now my heart's breaking. Oh, you've tricked me. You've tricked me. You've tricked me into going into that other person and feeling what they're feeling. And now I can't ignore it. I can't ignore their suffering because their suffering's my suffering. Thank you. That's the name of my real estate agency, is that your suffering is my suffering, real estate agency. Now come, look at houses with me. I'm going to show you 3, and it's a setup, and I know which one you're going to buy. That's why the other 2 are there, for comparison.
I think I understand.
I don't. Look, I got this tour guide show because of show. See, that was a Freudian slip. I meant gig. Well, which is like a show. But really, I'm supposed to be teaching and helping and answering questions. And in reality, I feel like I'm entertaining you and helping you pass the time. You're just walking through this house alone by yourself. I'm not giving you anything more. I'm probably distracting you. I'm distracting you from looking at this. Come upstairs with me. I got to show you these bedrooms. It's crazy what people used to do. People used to sleep standing up. And they did this so much, and this became so common, that they would actually build houses with the wall on the floor. That's why the beds now are horizontal. but they're just vertical beds that have been laid on their side to accommodate people standing up sleeping walk this way. They didn't have bathrooms inside the houses like we do now. You'd have to go outside the bathroom to enjoy a beautiful bathroom architecture and interior design. Did they have tiled outhouses? We'll never know. We'll never know. Because there's none of them exist right now. That doesn't mean there weren't any. It's like saying, did dinosaurs wear paper hats? We don't have any. And why would we? They would have all deteriorated already. So sometimes the lack of things is absolutely incontrovertible proof that they exist. And I know this from exploration. I have gone into many of these houses. This is how I know how to do the tour. You think I made it up on my own? Oh, no, it's the product of mimicry. I went in other houses and listened to tours. I listened to others deliver their opinions of why there was a sub-basement and why there was an attic and why there was different things in the sub-basement and attic. And I memorized their spiel and I memorized the information. I said, I'm going to lead people around like this and tell them these things. And they're going to look at me as a sort of authority figure. And they're going to believe me, even though their lying eyes are telling them something else. I'm going to tell them that window's on the south wall, and they can see it's on the east wall, and they're going to believe me and not their own lying eyes. Walk into this bedroom. Look at the beautiful crochet work. Somebody spent their whole lives doing that. Maybe they spent the last month of their life knowing they were dying, finishing a crocheted blanket. For who? I don't know. The name's not on it. So much is lost to history. Does anybody really know? Is this the house of one of y'all's family? Probably not. Raise your hand if you read that Orwell book I referenced in the beginning, Down and Out in Paris and New York. Did you read that one? Oh, yes. It really frights me. Paris and London. Why am I saying New York? Did I say New York the first time? Paris and London. New York. Did I say New York? Now I'm thinking back. The book is called Down and Out in Paris and London. First he goes to Paris, and then he goes to London, where he has to sleep in homeless shelters and smoke cigarettes off the ground and things like that, I think. I think that's right. I don't know. I haven't been in the basement in so long. So all my memories are the first floor. Now we're up here in the bedrooms. I'm thinking, will we ever go back downstairs again? I guess for breakfast. Is there another floor of bedrooms? Oh, yes. Is it more prestigious to be on this floor or the highest floor? You want to go up there and see? Yes. Well, then there's an attic. What's in the attic? Grace Poole. Grace Poole. Grace Poole's in the attic, I believe. I believe she is in there. She may have company. I do not know. Maybe it's the name of the pool. Maybe there's a swimming pool on that floor. I don't know what floor the pool's on. I don't know what floor the gym's on. I don't know if this is like one of those hotels. I know you got to scan your room key card to get into the pool. It's not just for anybody. And maybe they call it Grace Pool because it used to be a church. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Is there an E at the end? You mean, is it electronic? No, I think it's the old-fashioned kind, filled with water and ready to be swum in. Let's go up to that second floor and let's look out the window. We can get a view from there, see? I tell you, you're not on the ground, but you're high up in the air and you can see farther away. You may be out of touch with the everyday reality, but you get a wide view. You can see into the future. You can see into the past. But you're not participating in it because you're not on the first floor. You're on the second floor. You're on the observation deck. You're up there. Can you stay up there? You can sleep up there. You can dream up there, but you can't live up there. Eventually, you're going to have to come down and get something to eat.
I think I know what this tour's all about. I think you do too, sir. You seem very smart to me. And I'm not saying anything that's very intelligent at all. I'm just saying, oh, open up your heart. Let yourself feel. I've been doing it my whole life, and I'm not dead yet. It hasn't been fatal for me. Oh, I feel like it's going to kill me, but it doesn't. Just makes me stronger. Oh, it makes me stronger like Wabba Wampa Mobi. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to have to pay money. I think maybe I have to pay money if I say his name properly. I think that about everything. I always think maybe they're going to make me pay money if I say something correctly. If I say something correctly, surely someone owns it. And they're going to make me pay.
So that's why I cling to falsehoods. That's why I cling to myth. That's why I cling to lies and stories, because I know they're giving them away. And the truth, people have, locked that away in a cabinet. You got to have a separate ticket. You can't just, not just general admission. You have to have a separate ticket for that exhibit. It's up on the fourth floor. They trick you into doing that. You look at the whole museum. You go up there. You think you're going to see that special exhibit. And they go, oh, no, that's $10 more. You think I'm going to fall for that? I am. Oh, I am, because my heart is open and I want to experience joy and beauty. And I'd gladly give you another $10. Are you enjoying the tour? Do you need to break for anything? There are bathrooms. They're historic, but I'll let you go in there and pee in them. Why not? What are we preserving? Ancient pee? Go in there and put your modern pee on it. Put your stamp on it. Write your name now. Come on. You're just as valuable or more valuable than the dead. They may have come before you, but now you're here. Someday you'll be gone. Let the future people worry about that. Right now. Let's hold hands. Come on, look at other people. Look them in the eye. Let yourself feel. Come on, take that thing off your. I know what you've done. I know what you've done. I know it hurts. I know it hurts to feel what other people are feeling. I know it does. And I know that some of you have gone ahead and pushed the mute button, and you don't feel it or hear it anymore. And I understand that. Just sometimes to get by. How am I going to do it if I'm hearing and feeling all that? I had to cut it off. I can't have it anymore. I don't have time for that. I put on the armor. I have put my heart in a box. Oh, I know. I understand. And I think it'll be safe in there. It'll be safe in there. But you know what? Be safe from everything. Nothing's going to touch it. You're not going to feel anything. Open it up. Come on, unpush that button. Let it back. Let yourself cry at the plight of others. Let your heart break open. Oh, yes, you're going to go over there and do something about that suffering. That suffering is my business. Oh, it's hard. Justice is hard. We want to throw it all out. You don't want to have to do anything. You don't want to have to let yourself be crushed. You want to walk around inured, like a giant, like a mecha Godzilla. But yeah, mecha anything. Don't want to be the mecha version. Want to be the fleshy version. That's why you're made of flesh and not mecha. What do you call it? Metal. You're not metal. I mean, you might be metal. There's nothing more metal than being flesh and bones, is there, in that sense? Right? I'm glad that you came with me. Now, I hate to do this to you because I just complained about it, but the attic is a separate ticket. I know, because it's very mysterious. Everybody wants to go to the attic. So it's a separate ticket. This was not covered under your general admission, and I'll go ahead and wait, and I got my little machine here, and I will swipe your card, and okay, you're all, you know what? A wealthy patron has paid for your admission, so you're all, don't worry about it. We're going to go in the attic. It's going to be free today. Somebody took care of it. All right? So let's just go up there now. What is in the uppermost room of this house? Well, I got to tell you, the attic wasn't originally constructed as a room at all. No, no, no. It's just that if the ceiling is to have pitch, then there must be some empty space under it. Is that space usable? Well, you have to start thinking, I need all space. I need to use everything, even if that space is impractical. I can't quite stand up in it. But because it's the highest space, it must be the most valuable, even though it's the narrowest, even though really this space is just designed for emptiness, to keep air. It's to remain empty. This is the center of things. This is the attic. This is where the airflow is at. You don't put dollies in there. You don't put broken memories. You don't put things in there that you're trying to forget but you can't let go. Oh, that's not what it's for. It's there for his natural insulation between the outside roof and the inside ceiling of the second floor. Hear me now. Do you feel what I am saying? Let me into your heart. Let me in right now, please. I'm asking, I'm begging you to let me in. Let me into your heart and I'll turn off that thing that you've... That switch that you've thrown that allows you not to feel things that other creatures are feeling. Let yourself do it. Let yourself, I'll tell you what, you're going to be broken, but you're going to be put back together and made whole. I can't take that. That's like some superhero that keeps getting, like Wolverine or something. It hurts, but he heals. Yes, you can be Wolverine. It's worth it. You can get through that. Let yourself, don't put the armor on.
Well, what about armor, like things that you, like a chemical one that you spray on something to make the rubber shiny?
Oh, you're referring to a product. No, I'm really literally referring to like armor, like plate armor, not the chainmail and stuff that we use in our recreation club. But really the plate armor that you see, let's say you're in a haunted house. Let's say you inherited the house of a dead uncle, and it's haunted, and it's got suits of armor, classic suits of armor in it. And you've got to spend the night in that house with the classic suits of armor. That's the kind I'm talking about. You're in that. What are you going to feel? Nothing. How you even going to battle? You may be protected from the blows, but how are you going to win anything? You're just going to sit there and survive. Do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? That rhymes. It does. I'm the first person ever to rhyme that. And then to add beehive to it for no reason. Because it's poetic. How is a beehive... Is there a beehive in the attic? I don't know. But it's nice if we left room for it. Is there a raccoon in the attic? I don't know. But it's nice that we left room for it. Because now if our photographs are destroyed, we don't have to blame the raccoon. The raccoon's just being a raccoon. I see a snake skin. Are there snakes in the attic? Maybe. Maybe an oak snake crawled in there to get some protection when she was shedding her skin. Are there mice in the attic? Maybe there's mice in the attic. Maybe they feel safe there. Maybe they feel protected from the outside world. And if we ate our precious baseball glove that we had as a child, then we blame the mice. But if we don't put it in there, it won't be eaten by the mice. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. If you did, I would worry. Because I don't as well. I stand here like a painting for you or a sculpture. And all angles, I think, are Rorschach-y and different, aren't they? I was behind Hardy, and he looked to me to look like sort of fire plug. I was on the side of Hardy, and he looked to me to be like sort of some stylized logo from an oil company. I was in front of Hardy, and he looked to me to be flat as a pancake, like an elephant. Well, maybe all those things. People are facets. People are facets. I once was told that a human being is like one of these dodecahedron die that they use in role-playing games. And I said, how so? And they said, they're many-sided, and the numbers mean something and tell you how many steps that you can make your wizard go forward. And I said, I got to think about that for a minute. And then they said, you know, life is like any one thing in it. And I said, how can that be? And they said, consider the lily or a coffee cup. I said, all right. Say, life is like that entire thing. How so? That it contains itself in it. Now you're just speaking gibberish and nonsense. Why not? I'm supposed to speak for a prescribed amount of time, and then we have coffee and donuts. Am I not right? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the one-on-one interaction time that we have after I'm done speaking to you, after I'm telling you stories that you should already know about how we get along with one another, mistakes that our ancestors have made, pitfalls, things that happen to you when you're human, what to expect when you're expecting to be a human. You're going to expect a lot of suffering. You might get some joy. The joy will be mixed into the suffering like ground nuts and raisins. You say, I'd like to pick them all out. Have fun. Because then you're just going to be left with, I don't know, muffin or bran or something, just sitting there, and all your precious little dried fruits and nuts in a pile, and you'll never get around to eating any of them. Don't take the cookie apart and just eat one part. Shove the whole cookie in your mouth. Eat all of the parts together. It's like some dish where you say, oh, you're eating it wrong. You've got to wrap the marinated tofu in the lettuce, then put the ginger on it or something. There's steps, and then you put it all in your mouth, and it's the combination. It's the burst of flavor. It's life in all of its facets. It's life with the joy and the pain all mixed up together. That's how it's supposed to be experienced. Eat your life. Eat it up. Eat your life. Do it right. Dip it in the sauce. Put the little bread around it. Ask your server what the steps are. Maybe they have suggestions. But don't just stick pieces in your pocket. Eat it up. There'll be more. Gobble it up. There'll be more. Now, I'm going to get to this right away. I'm going to read some letters from listeners. Dear Hardy, I didn't know that I could write to you. Well, you can't. I'm making this up. So I don't know. I guess you could. I won't read it. I mean, I'll read it. Might not read it out loud. And I have this problem where I think I've answered things because I answer them as I'm reading it. So I'm talking to you as you write me sometimes. I speak back to you, and I don't always transcribe it and send it to you. I know that's wrong. For some reason, I think that we are telepathically linked, and you can feel me responding to you. Then I realize, you know, I don't think that's enough. I think sometimes I've got to actually physically reach out to somebody. Oh, they know I love him. Maybe they don't know you love them. Maybe now is the time to tell someone you love them. Maybe now is the time to open your heart and reach out. Maybe now is the time to take a chance. Maybe now is not the time to throw away the judges. Now is not the time to tell Samuel want a king. I want some rigid authority over me. No, I will make the hard choices of interpreting the law. I will make the hard choices. I will have to keep an eye on the sons of Samuel. I'm not going to let them get away with being corrupt. I'm going to hold them to a standard. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to participate in justice. I'm going to participate in kindness. Oh, I want you to be feeling safe with me. Oh, Hardy, are we going to take each other's hand and walk together? Yes, sirree. Let's walk through the forest and look at trees. We'll walk by the spring and look at the spring. There's water there. There's water there. It comes from the ground, from the ground. I like to smell the things as they rot back into the ground. I like to smell the things as they break down. Not some things like garbage, though. I don't even that. Even that is the smell of being alive. It's the smell of the organic. You can smell that on public transport. You go, ooh, how about that? Maybe it's some lavender. Lavender is named lavender after the bathrooms that it was originally found in. Lavender was cultivated out of your granny's bathroom. Lilac and lavender both come from, and so lavender went on to be the word lavatory, and after that, lava or lave, because lava looks like soap coming down. So it's the same word, I think. It's the same Etymology and entomology are the same things because bugs and words are the same things because as we've has been demonstrated through the Hebrew language, Deborah, bees, words, same word, insects, language, same thing, absolutely. Oh, what are you shooting out of your mouth now? Ants? Yes, I am. I'm shooting ants and beetles out of my mouth. I'm shooting bees and wasps out of my mouth. I'm shooting beneficial insects. I'm shooting harmful insects. What just fell from your lips? A centipede? Oh, that's revolting. Is it, though? Out of my eye sockets will crawl animals as they feed on my flesh when I am gone. When I am gone, worms will crawl through my brains and make a delicious sort of, what would they call it, like a pate. It would be like a pate to them. Say, I'm swimming in pate, say the worms, as they clear out my cranial cavity. And then someday, some cool kid will find my nicely dried, preserved skull and say, I'm going to stick a candle on the head of that skull and listen to some creepy music that creeps me out, man. That's great. Do that. That's the best use for my head I can think of. Or invert it and use it to store flour or sugar or something like one of those beautiful containers that my grandmother used to have in her bathroom, in her bathroom kitchen. She would keep the flour in the kitchen, usually. And then hers were copper and not made from human skull. But who knows? I don't know how time's going to change. I don't know how I'm going to be remembered or you're going to be remembered. But I do know this. I do know that right now I am soaking in some sort of participatory thing, that I am feeling things, I'm experiencing things, I seem to be alive, that's all I know. I know that sometimes there is pain. I know that sometimes I understand the consequences of some actions that lead to pain, and I know how to avoid it, and I don't know everything, though, you see. Because I don't know how to help you. All I can say is I want to. All I can declare is my intention. I can't save you. I can't protect you, although I want to. I can tell you I love you, but I can't love you perfectly even. All I have is desire. All I have are wants. And all I want to do is express them to you, because I want you to have them too. I want you to want me. I need you to need me. I'm begging you to open your heart. I'm begging you to open your soul, to open up and feel what others are feeling and love and do it without feeling embarrassed. Everything embarrasses me. Oh, my goodness, wait till you're dead. You're going to be so liberated. Well, that'll be too late. Then do it now. Liberate yourself now. Don't wait until you're dead. Oh, yes, when you're dead, all shame goes away. You say, I'm dead now. I don't care what people think. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if you had had that experience before you had dropped dead? Well, now you have this opportunity. Step right up and join me on the first level of this tour, and we're going to walk into the gift shop, and I'm going to give you the greatest gift that you have ever received. Walk right now into the gift shop of this house tour, ladies, gentlemen, people of all gender identities, creatures of all stripes and types. Everything that is alive, everything that is breathing, welcome. Things that are not breathing, the dead, souls of the dead, memories of the dead, rocks, sweaty rocks, and things like that. Step right up right now. We're going to walk into this gift shop, and you're going to get a free gift. And what is the free gift? The free gift is the pledge of my love and intention to help you. I'm going to be on the side of compassion. I'm going to be on the side of loving everyone and loving my fellow creatures. And I'm going to try, and I'm going to fail, and I'm going to get up. And I promise to keep going. I promise to keep trying. That's all I can do. And that promise is my gift to you. And that might not be enough. I know it's not enough. I know it's no poster. It's no framed poster. I know it's no ashtray. I know it's no fridge magnet. I know it doesn't have that kind of worth. But I tell you what, you can make it worth something if you take it home and decorate it a little bit. You got something worthless? Glue a gold piece onto it. Instantly worth something. That's what I do. If I have something worthless, I just take an adhesive, put the adhesive on, glue the valuable thing to it, voila. My friends, I can't believe that we have an opportunity to be together virtually every week. I say virtually every week because there's some weeks that are missing. You don't notice them. I notice them because there are tiny glitches in time. I wish they weren't falling away, but pieces of the future keep falling away. And this makes me very, very sad. I wish I couldn't see it. I wish I didn't know that it was happening. I wish that I was blind to it, that I couldn't see pieces of the future falling away, weeks falling away, opportunities falling away, because we have closed our eyes to them. If you don't see them, they disappear. Open your eyes. Don't be afraid of what you'll see. You might be shocked. That can of nuts might be a spring snake. Or it could be some nuts. I'm allergic to nuts. Then you want the spring snake. You don't know. Oh, my friends. Are we friends? Are we still friends? I don't know. I think we were, because I declared us friends, and you never contradicted me, and I can't hear you. We're not friends. I can't hear you. We're not friends. I can't hear you, though. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? I'm going to go to my deathbed thinking we were friends. Can you imagine that? Go to my death. Is that right? Go to my grave. First I'll go to my deathbed. First I'll go to breakfast. Then I'll go to my deathbed. Then I'll get up out of my deathbed and go sit at the death writing desk for a while. Probably do some correspondence. Then get back in. And then who knows? Then eventually my grave. But it could be years away. Who knows? I'm very alarmist. So just because it's my deathbed doesn't mean my death is imminent. Who knows when the bell will toll for you, or even if it's a bell, it could be a buzzer. Say, what's that buzzing? It's, man, you're supposed to be somewhere, and you're supposed to be in heaven. I was waiting for a bell. No, it's like, meep, meep, meep. Oh, that thing's been going off for ages. You are late. You are late. Oh, no, you're not. Stay here. Stay here with me. Stay on Earth with Hardy White. Let's stay on Earth for the duration. Let's see how far we can make it. Let's see if we can do it. If you don't, hey, hold my hand. Hold my hand. Stay here with me. Stay here. Let's just see. I'm seeing how long I can make it. I want to do, I think I can, I'm just going, I want to go until I'm starting to, things are falling off. I'm anxious to see, like when my one of my ears falls off or something. I hope I can make it that long, just out of curiosity. I just want to keep seeing, what are they doing with that house? Are they going to remodel it? No, is anybody living there? Curiosity. Curiosity and the hope for love. I figured out that's what's keeping me going. I have love now, but I'm greedy. And I know in the future I may make more connections. I may love more people, care about more people. Won't that make it harder? It's harder and better. People say, oh, I want to be a big movie star. You know, be a big movie star, payoff's good, right? You get a lot of money, get a lot of fame and everything, but it's hard work. Why, are you a big movie star? No, but I read up on it. So it's hard work. Yeah, the more you get, the harder it is. Oh, more love. It's hard, but it's worth it. I want to be a love star. I want to have a heart so large that anything can get in, that my compassion is for everything, that I'm not stingy with it, that I'm giving it out, that I'm throwing love out like Rockefeller dimes. I'm throwing love out like Rockefeller dimes. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, where miracles happen daily, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. I can't believe that we get this opportunity to be together. I am very grateful. I do look forward to doing it every week. I am at your disposal, more or less. I am not a dispose-all. You may put lemons in me to refresh my smell. Do not put things down me that may clog my drain. I will be here again next week doing this whole thing all over again. On behalf of myself, Captain Butchie, First Mate Lou, I thank you for taking this virtual hop-on, hop-off bus tour of your own consciousness, of your own moral center. Thank you for joining me, my friends. And I will see you again when? Wait for it. Next week. Just wait. Be patient. Next week. Next week.